Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
You know, last week we started a series called What It Means to Trust God. And I'm just impressed by the Spirit of God to keep that subject going. When we talk about trust, there's a synonym called faith, and a lot of Christians think that faith and trust is the same thing, but I want to dive a little deeper in this message that we started on last week. Of course, we want you to take advantage of the YouTube channel. Always go to that website, www.wordlife.tv. Take advantage of all the good things you can do to log on to Word for the Day 24/7. And you know, subscribe for the YouTube channel so you can go back and go over these messages over and over again. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not what you heard, and it's not even how much word you heard, but how much you're going to retain. That's why we have this Tuesday night Bible study, to just keep this word going. Take advantage of that series, Rekindling the Fire in You, Classic 1, Part 1 and 2. Go and that YouTube channel, you definitely need that. And just play it over and over again until it get down in your spirit. All right, let's continue the Word of God tonight. What it means to trust God, part two. And I want to use as a subtopic, are you committed to God? Are you committed to God? And we're talking about fully committed, because that's what trust basically is. Trust is about commitment. Faith breeds confidence, but trust breeds commitment. You know, there's times that things happen in our life. We don't even know why. And I'm talking about sometimes even negative things happen to good people. And some people say, well, if I was serving God, why did this happen? Why I lay hands on mama and she didn't get healed? Or why did I apply for the job and didn't get the promotion? And, you know, and their faith is shaken. Faith can be shaken. But trust is about commitment. It says, if I don't get the job, I still trust God. If mama live or die, God didn't fail. I trust God. And so trust is about commitment. That's why we use it as a subtopic. We're asking the question, are you committed to God? Another way of saying it, do you really trust God? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to look at one verse of scripture, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. Now, Zion means the church. I'm laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The Lord is saying, I'm laying in Zion. I'm laying in church. Now, we know this stone is referring to Jesus, praise God. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. We will build up on you. He's the foundation to the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, he that believeth, now that word believe literally means trust in him, shall not make haste or give way to sudden fear or panic. The Amplified will bring this out a little clear here. It says, therefore, I, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion for a foundation. Notice it used the capital S, a stone, referring to Jesus, praise God. He's the foundation to the church. Upon this rock of revelation who Jesus is, I will build my church. A tested stone, and I like that, because he's been proven, he's been tested, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Now watch this. He that believes. Now we begin to get into what trust is. Trust in, relies on, and adhere to this stone. He that trusts in, relies on, adhere to this stone. In other words, faith in Jesus Christ will not be ashamed. That means they won't be disappointed. If you believe and step out on the word of God, by stripes you're healed, and you trust in Jesus for your healing, you won't be ashamed. You won't be disappointed. If you're standing on the word of God, this stone concerning your children and their salvation, and you believe in God, hallelujah, for household salvation. Well, you know, I don't want to spend all that time praying and they just get work. No, he said you won't be ashamed. He said this is a tried stone. You know, I'm thinking about right now we're in the middle and really going through and coming out of, by faith, this pandemic. And I think about the vaccines. You know, there's the Pfizer, I think that's two shots. And then they have the Johnson shot. And then they have the Moderna. And they for a year, you know, before this pandemic, when it started, they was testing vaccines and they tried it on people. And before it could even have temporary approval, it had to go through tests. And they deemed that it was safe. But even with that, it's only, you know, I think Pfizer's maybe about 87% effective, Moderna 82, and Johnson about 85. In other words, it's not totally perfected. But this is a tested stone. It ain't no 82%. There's 100% victory. You don't have to worry about, you know, well, will it work or not? The word of God, if you trust in him, look what he says. He that adheres to, relies on this stone, will not be ashamed. I'm not going to be disappointed. If I step out on the word of God, I am not, that's what that word means, ashamed, disappointed, or give way or hasten way to sudden panic. That means fear. Give in to sudden fear. That's what panic is. Panic is baseless fear. If you're going to trust God, on the other end of that trust is going to be something called fear, which is a spirit. And panic means baseless fear. It means stuff that haven't even happened yet. Well, you know, what if the plane go down? What if I catch COVID-19? What if my children die now? I mean, the devil will throw all types of lies at you, stuff that haven't even happened yet, to try to get you to react or panic. In other words, baseless fear. And there are a lot of people that are dying early. There are a lot of people that's getting sick. There are a lot of people that's going broke, missing God about stuff that never even happened. And so that means there's a lack of trust. That's why he said you got to trust in this stone. It's a tried stone. Hallelujah. I mean, when you mean tried, what you mean by tried? It was tried in the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. And God brought out the children of Israel. It was tried in Daniel's lion den. Huh? God shut the mouth of the lion just like you'll shut the mouth of your haters and your critics in Jesus' name. It was tried even at the cross. I mean, death couldn't hold Jesus down. The Bible says for 3 days and three nights, he was in the pit of hell. But thank God on the third day, he got up. This is a tried stone. There is no failure in him. Praise God. It was tried at the Red Sea. Hallelujah. God made a way out of no way. So a lot of things we're not sure about. We can't trust in because it hasn't been tried or, as the scripture says, tested. Jesus, hallelujah, has passed every test. Hallelujah. The word of God is tested and it works. It works better than any type of doctor. It works better than any type of thank God for the vaccine, but it's better. Thank God. I'm not knocking vaccine. Thank God for it. But this is a tested stone. There's a lot of things haven't been tested, and when they are, they fail. Jesus is fail proof. And so trust means about commitment. So the first statement I want to make is then fully committed to God means removing all other options except his word. Now, I want to make sure I explain that. Removing all other options except his word. You know, in other words, there's not a plan B. Some people, they're committed, but not totally. I'm talking about being all in. When God called me into the ministry, I had to get all in. I had to remove all other options. God was calling me to build buildings and do it debt-free. Now, that's why I want to bring balance here. You mean then I remove all other options except his word? Yeah. I was trusting God's word concerning debt cancellation. Do that mean I don't borrow the money? No, we went and borrowed money, but we didn't. We didn't go and sign stupid loans that was going to break the church. But I was still trusting God. Why? To owe no man nothing but to love them. The end result was that would come a day and we're walking in that. Where, thank God, we were debt free. That don't mean you don't use the assistance of man, because I hear people right now, you mean I got to get rid of all other options? I can't go to the doctor. If I go to the doctor, that means that I'm not trusting? No. That just means if you choose to go to the doctor, you're still trusting the word. Can't no doctor heal you. They can only operate. God causes flesh to mend. See what I'm saying? I'm standing on his word regardless. So I don't have any in the bank. If I go to the doctor, I'm trusting God. Hallelujah. If I'm trusting God to pay off this loan, I'm trusting God to save my children. There are no other options. And I don't have no plan B. And so that's what trusted, that means committed. That means, you know, because if you give yourself options, trust me, the flesh will always choose the road of least resistance. It's going to choose those options. Because flesh don't want to stand on the word. Flesh is flesh. It's senses, what I see and feel and pain and hurt. And so I had to shut the door. That was me. Now, I ain't telling you what to do. I'm talking about what it means to really trust God. I had to remove all of the options, that there will come a day that everything God promised me in his word will come to pass. That does not mean I did not use man or anything wrong with using man's assistance. Okay? Praise God. Look at Isaiah 26:4. You'll see what I'm talking about. So trust in the Lord. Look at this. Look what trust is. Commit yourself. That's why we ask the question, are you committed to God? Are you committed to the word of God? When I committed to pastor, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about church. How do you get, you know, the IRS, and how do you get, you know, legalized with the state and the articles of incorporation, and what do you, but in the business side, it was so, but I was committed. If you commit to God, God will open the world. The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. He will direct thy path. I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. But it first took me being committed. No fear. Lord, I'll trust you. I'll be a barefoot priest. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so he commits yourself. Trust in him means to commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. So we can see here as we get into trust. Trust means commitment. Faith can be shaken. Faith can even fail. We'll look at that. We, you know, Luke, think 22, verse 31 and 32, Jesus talking to Simon Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for your faith that it fail not. Not the faith of God, our faith. Oh, don't look at me like all of our faiths get weak. Elijah's faith got weak. He wanted to die. Moses got weary. He wanted to die. Great men of God. You understand? Faith can fail. We all, our faith is not, God's faith in us is perfect, but we are human beings. But trust is about commitment. Trust says, will I get the house or not? Will I get healed? Will the mama get healed or not? Will I get the promotion or not? I trust God. I'm committed to him. Maybe there's something God knows that I don't know, why I didn't need that house or should have stayed on this job or that. Trust is about commitment. That's why you need to ask yourself, are you really committed to God? You know, I think about this pilot. This guy was taking pilot lessons, true story. And they was learning in this single engine airplane. And his instructor was very good, and he had taught him. And he got about 2 or 3 months under his belt. And finally, he got a chance to solo, and not solo, not by himself. That just means he was the in the pilot seat, and the pilot was assisting his trainer or instructor was assisting him. And he bought a little plane, and he got excited, and he soloed, and you know, he was doing pretty good. And so on his first real trip, he decided to ask his instructor, do you want to go with me on this trip? And thank God the instructor said, yeah, we're somewhere local. And they got up in this single engine airplane, and they got up so high, and all of a sudden the engine just stopped, and fear gripped this guy, and he looked at his trainer and he said, what are we gonna do? Because the plane, the engine, single engine, it stopped. He said, we're gonna land. That sounds like commitment to me. He didn't say crash. He said, we're going to land. The guy, the instructor, he didn't allow fear to get him. See, most people think just because the airplane engine stopped, it just go like that. No, it don't. You just have the ability to know how to land that plane. And thank God, because fear did overtake him, both of their lives were saved. But notice here, commitment. What you going to do, jump out? He was fully committed. Why? He had to trust God. That's what a good picture of trust is to me. Amen. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're talking about, are you committed to God? So we see the first thing about commitment, what it means to trust God. It means you got to be committed to him. I'm not backing out. I'm not giving up. I never quit. If the word of God says I'm healed, thank God, I'll confess it. That don't mean if I have to go to the doctor, they operate. If I, you know, I'm going to keep the scripture in my mouth. That's no lack of trust because I went to the doctor or, like I said, even borrowed the money. There ain't no lack of trust. As long as the end results of that word, God declares the end from the beginning, in the end, as long as you come out debt free. You was trusting God the whole time. Very few people that I know that, you know, particularly if you're buying a $200,000-$300,000 home that you have the money up front to pay for. If you do, great. But if you're going to wait till you get it all, you can trust God, but you might be waiting a long time to get in your first house. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has started you with small steps, and then he'll give you bigger challenges. And you know, we started in the YMCA and then one room and to the next room. And you trust God for every step. Here, Paul is saying, wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, just like I'm preaching and teaching to you tonight. That's my calling. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know, watch this, in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. Talking about God. Talking about trusting God. He's able to keep that which I have committed. Trust is about committed. My ministry is committed. My life is committed. The church is committed. Everything is committed. I'm fully committed to him. I'm trusting him. That's what trust is about. That I've committed unto him against that day. Notice God can only keep that which you commit to him. You got to give it to him and leave it there. You got to commit your children. Trust God. You got to commit your church. Trust God. You got to commit that job situation. Amen. And the Bible says, I know in whom I have believed. He's able to keep that which I have committed to him. Now, the Amplified gives us a little deeper insight into this. He said, for I'm proclaiming, the proclaiming of the gospel was I appointed herald, preacher, and an apostle, special messenger for a teacher of the Gentiles. He said, and this is why I'm suffering as I do. Still, I'm not ashamed, for I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and I'm acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to. Now, notice what he's called belief. Trusted in and relied on. There is this about trust again and relied on. He says, I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed. Oh, see, every time you see trust, you see commitment. Committed to who? Him. Until that day. God will keep that what you commit to him. Matter of fact, that's what trust means. It means to commit means to entrust something to God. You entrust, like Moses' parents entrusted Moses. The Bible says they didn't fear the king's commandment. That every child should be slain under 2 years and under. And yet they hid Moses, put him in a basket, pitched it with tar, and put it in the Nile River with snakes and alligators and all crocodiles and water moccasins and all these. And they had that they committed that child to God. Can you imagine that? A child and a mother? And you releasing it, not knowing? But that's commitment, wasn't it? They was trusting God. And God guided that basket. You know the story. Right down to Pharaoh's backyard. Had his daughter pick her, and Moses was raised, a deliverer, right in his back. Why? Because he committed. Something about when you commit to God, God takes over your finances, your children, your home, your family, whatever. He said he's able to keep that. I know who I have trusted in. And he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's why a lot of people are in fear and anxiety because they don't know how to commit things to God. They try to handle everything and everybody and everyone. You have to even commit your enemies to God. Amen. There are a lot of people who, well, they what worried about what other people doing, what they said about me, what they think about me, and so, and allow other people to rent space in your head. Commit them to God. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He said, it'll make your enemies your footstool. Matter of fact, he said, he'll prepare a table before you in their presence. But if you're going to do the own fighting, God said, all right, I'm going to stand still. You fight the battle. But if you stand still, God will fight the battle. But it takes commitment. I had to learn it. Trust is a growing thing. We're still growing. There's different levels of trust. And so it's a growing thing. Amen. But God can only keep that which you commit to him. He don't want you full of worry and anxiety. Too many people dying too early. So then trust demands commitment. Listen to this statement. It's hard to trust somebody that you do not know. Think about that, though. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And that word know just don't mean know about. You know, just because you know somebody. I mean, I know LeBron James, but I don't know him personally. You know, I know Serena Williams, but I don't know her personally. I know a lot of personalities on TV through them, but that don't mean I know them intimately. I don't go home with them. I don't eat with them. I haven't sat at the table with them. And Paul is talking about intimacy here. He said, I know in whom I have believed. Because it's hard to trust somebody that you do not know. It's hard to commit things, your money, your children. You don't leave your kids to folks you don't know. They can be in witchcraft and this and that. Well, I'm just going to leave them. Well, where y'all from? Well, we from out of town. Well, will you mind keeping my child? Well, no, I don't know you. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know. And so that's been the problem. Why it's been hard to trust God, because we haven't really known him. We know about him. We know general things. But when it comes down to adversity, it's about that intimate relationship with God. When he talk about knowing, the know that he's talking about, before I get into this, is the same know that Genesis, I think, chapter 4 used when it says, Adam knew Eve and conceived. Well, you can't get somebody pregnant just by knowing them. Had to be more than that. It's talking about intimacy. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about communion, time with God, in the Word of God, getting pregnant with the Word of God, time with God. And the reason a lot of people's hard to trust God, they don't spend any time with him. That's why they don't know his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. The reason I know my son's voice, my wife's voice, because I spend time with her. I mean, I don't care if the whole church, I can tell when Joyce or Christopher's calling me. Why? I spend enough time with those two, become sensitive to their voice. And that trust, the more you know someone, the more you trust them. Now, trust is earned. You listen to me? When I'm talking, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, so-and-so is walking in forgiveness. No, ain't nobody walking in unforgiveness. Forgiveness is one thing, but trust is another. You can forgive someone and not trust them. It's based off of their reactions and then keeping their words and their series of behavior. Are you listening to me? I mean, your dog is, yeah, come to your house and your dog, he won't bite, and he bite me on the leg, and then I come back again and he won't bite, and he bite. No. I forgave you the last time, but I don't trust that dog. You understand what I'm saying? And so trust is earned. Trust many times takes years to see the pattern of people's lives. And God is faithful. I'm talking about God now. We ain't talking about man. We're talking about over the years I watched this pattern. And the more I trust him, after 47 years now in my life, the more I know him. And he's proved himself. This is a tested stone. But in order to know him, watch this. Psalms 46:10. This has been the problem. Why some people, when it comes to healing, and you know, they have mental assent knowledge of God, but you got to know God. You got to know him personally, not what other people say about it, not even what I preach and teach to you about. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're this, and so-and-so say that you're this, and Bishop so-and-so said, and Pastor Diggs said, but whom say ye, Peter? You got to have a personal revelation. God opened his eyes. God the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you didn't get this through flesh and blood. This didn't come through human beings. But my Father, which is time with God. My Father, which is in heaven. That's why I said, be still and know that I'm God. Did you get that? Be still and know that I am God. That word know ain't talking about knowing about. It's talking about intimacy. It's talking about intermingling of lives. It's talking about fellowship, communion. The reason it's hard to trust somebody you don't know, and people that they don't spend no time with God. We get too busy. That's why we've been teaching about slowing down and going back to that word. We're seeing a revival and a resurrection in our church because people are getting still again. We got still doing the pandemic, but we wasn't in the word. We came lukewarm. We got away from the fire, but thank God you get still. You remember we taught it. Bible says Moses said, you know, he was going about his daily routine, and sometimes we just in a daily routine. Go to work, pay bills, drive the car home, feed the kids. Go to work, pay bills, go to bed, feed the kids. Go to work, bed, soccer mom, whatever it is, couple of things, pick up. We get into our routine that we don't get still. We don't bring God into this. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Moses said, I will. He saw this burning bush and said, I will turn aside. I'm going to get still. Let me stop. I'm not going to herd sheep today. I'm going to break my routine and see this great sight. And when he got still and came to God, began to speak, he began to know God. And that began a relationship that led to splitting the Red Sea and leading the children out. He had to learn to trust God, but he had to get still. And so it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. You ain't going to never get to know God if you don't get still and spend time with him. So be still and know that I'm God among the heathen. So what it means to trust God means to be still. Time with God where you know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, I want to get into something that... Look at Psalms 56. Psalms 56. We're talking about what it means to trust God. Are you committed? So you gotta commit yourself to God. Fully committed. I don't have any options other than the word of God. There's times, and that's me. I'm not telling you what to do, that there's pain and symptoms in my body. Fear has tried to strike me and over the years about this church and finances of this church. And there's times I didn't say anything because I learned to commit things with God. Times that the church really was going through challenges, but I just committed to God, committed to God, committed to God. See, if you practice doing that, whatever you practice, it'll become routine. And I've learned that, you know, the scripture says, and we'll get into this, I don't know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3:5, heart, trust, heart. Heartish and lean not to thy own understanding. And then the next verse says, acknowledge him. That is still talking in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. So you got to learn to acknowledge yourself to God. Now I'm going to show you something about trust and fear. He says to the chief physician upon Jehokalabarakim. Wow, that's wow. Mishtab of David. Don't name your kid that. Okay. And when the Philistines took him to Gath, he said, be merciful unto me, O God, for men would daily swallow me up. He's fighting me, oppressing. Now notice he's dealing with haters. Keep going here. He says, my enemies would daily swallow me up, that they may fight against me, O thou most high. Now listen to this. I'm glad that is separated. Hold that there. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Almost sound like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Wait a minute. How can you be afraid and trust God at the same time? Look at that. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Let me help you. You can't help. Be trusting God and be afraid that what he's saying is you're not necessarily, when fear comes, when I feel fear, just because you feel, fear is a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You can sense it, just like you can sense, if someone is in a room, or you can sense if someone is hate, or sense someone's eyes on. Fear can be sensed. And one person who senses fear is the devil. That's the gasoline he used to start his fire. The thing you fear the most, he'll bring upon you. That's why even a dog, when a dog, he's waiting on you to react, he's sensing fear. It can be a small dog, but when you begin to run, and that fear, that dog will eat you up, because fear is a spirit, and it can be sensed. And what he's saying is, he's not saying that what fear has gotten in my heart. He said, when I sense fear, oh, what if this happened to the kid? What if you lose your house? What if you have a wreck? What? See, he said, when fear, he says, that is a signal that I need to go to the word and trust God. That's what he's saying. Let fear be, because if you were trusting God, the fear can't be there. You can't be trusting God and have fear there at the same time. So if I feel myself struggling, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear is not natural to a born-again believer. We've not received the spirit of bondage again, but the spirit of Christ, Abba, Father. So if I'm sensing fear, if something is telling me these machine gun thoughts about something negative happening, instead of letting that fear take me over, that means it's time to run to the word. I'm going to trust God. That's what he's saying here. He said, when I'm afraid, wow, he says, I will trust God. Now look at this next verse. In God will I praise this word. I'm going to the word. If fear come to me, I ain't going to sit there and let fear take me over. God's not giving me. I'm going to go to the word. That means it's time to trust God. In other words, fear must be replaced with faith. Fear will not lead you voluntarily. It's a spirit. You sit there and let fear take you over. You can say, praise God, hallelujah. I'm not going to sit here and stagger at the promises of God. What does the word say? The next verse says, he says, in God. Notice he goes to the word, in God will I praise this word. In the Lord will I praise this word. In other words, he said, I'm going to the word of God. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. What he said, I put my trust in the word of God. When I sense fear, what he said, I will put my trust in the word of God. When if I'm struggling about my healing and fear about sickness and disease, I'm going to the word that says, by stripes you were healed. No evil shall befall you. I'm taking sickness and disease. I'm going to go to the word. I'm going to purposely direct and put my trust in it, for I will not fear what flesh or man can do unto me. In other words, fear has no business controlling our lives. And if you know you're fearing, if you know fear is trying to get in, if you know it starts with the mind, fear is a spirit, it attacks the mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Sound thinking is thinking that holds to the word of God when all other circumstances is saying you're sick, you're broke, the money ain't there. A sound mind says, no, I'm not letting that. Just cause you sense fear don't mean that it's there. That's that spirit trying to get in and trying to take you. Don't let it in you. So what he said, when I sense fear, I'm going to go to the word and put my trust. I'm going to find the scripture that covers the promise and drive the fear away. Instead of sitting there and just still going and let fear, because fear has torment. Will torment you. It'll rob you of your sleep. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of your joy. The thing I feared the most, you know this, Job 3:25-26, has come upon me. And then the next verse said, neither had I rest or peace. I couldn't even rest. Started affecting my peace of mind, and I couldn't rest. Job began to wonder about the kids, and wonder about his finances, and listened to all this and kept entertaining thoughts. And he did the same sacrifice over and over for his kids, meaning he was doing it in fear. You do it one time in faith. I go to the word one time that covers the promise, that drives out the fear. He said, I'm going to purposely. And I know this. There's times I've had alarming symptoms in my body and pain, shooting pain. I'm like, oh my God. Instead of sitting there, I wonder what that was. Let me help you with something. I'm glad I'm on this. Wonderment is not fear. Wonderment is doubt. I was just wondering what would take the money. So I would, no, you are doubting. You're going to open up the door to that fear. When I sense things like that, immediately, I put my eyes on the word. We have not given attention to the word of God. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend and give your attention to what time I'm afraid. Shift your focus to the word. That's what he's saying. That covers that fear and drive it out. He said, in God have I put my trust. And so, Satan, if you want to have somewhat of the credit about the victory in my life, just keep bringing the fear, because every time you bring the fear, I'm going to go to the word. Every time fear knocks at the door, faith is going to answer. So you've got to direct yourself to the scripture. Because what is fear? What is fear? Fear means, Lord have mercy. Listen to me very carefully. Fear is faith. Fear is faith. It's faith perverted. It's faith going backward. Well, I'm afraid I was just going to not to get the money for my car payment. You believe you were not going to get the money for your car. I'm afraid that my kids, you know, if they go out tonight, they might get hit by a car. You believe. See, you're releasing faith. Fear is faith. But it's perverted faith. It's faith in the negative. I just believe, you know, if I go out there to that thing, I'm afraid I might catch COVID-19. No, you believe. You better watch out. You are releasing faith. What time I'm afraid, that led me today and got no business. Let me go to the word and put my trust in the word of God. I'm going to commit to what God said. Deal with the fear right there. And there's been times I've had symptoms in my body. My knees cracking in his life. The devil, oh my God, you're going to have to knee repair. And I go to the scripture that talks about bones. And I get over there and I say, praise God, hallelujah. The word of God is medicine to my flesh. I go over there to Hebrews 4:12 that says the word is quick, alive, sharp, and any two-edged sword, piercing to the marrow and the bones. And I begin to speak the word. Now, I'm not going to sit there and let fear take me over. It's a spirit, because fear will torment you. If you let it in, it will not want to release its grip on your life. So, he said, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust God. Listen to this statement. Then fear will not leave you voluntarily. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It won't leave you. It must be replaced with trust of the word. That's what he was saying. What time I'm afraid, if I'm sensitive, it's obvious I wouldn't have the fear if I was really trusting God. So fear, which is a lie, means that there's a promise which is the truth. And so right now, instead of listening to the lie, I got to find the truth. What did God say? Because there is no truth in the devil. There is no truth in Jesus. Said he's a liar. All he can do is lie. And hope that you believe that lie and put faith in that lie. He said there is no truth in him. So if he's saying I'm going to fail, the opposite of the lie, that must mean there's a promise that says I can succeed. If he says you're going to die, that means there's one or more promises exceeding great that says I will live. No evil shall befall me. So when I hear the lie, that's a signal I need to go to the truth. If I sense that thing, immediately and drive it out. Why? Because fear has torment. God don't want anybody tormented. It'll rob you of your rest. It'll rob you of your peace. And that's what this pandemic has done to a lot of people. It has changed a lot of lives. But thank God, revival has hit this church, and we're going to get back into the word of God and feed our faith, not our doubts and our fear. Look at Psalm, right there in that same Psalm, if you dive down to verse 10, 11, he'll show you what I'm talking about you have to replace. He said, okay, so in God will I praise his word. In God, in the Lord, will I praise his word. See? I think verse 11 talked about trust. He said, I put my trust in God. So what I'm going to do, I got to go to the word. What time I'm afraid, I'm going to go to the word. I'm going to start praising God. Now, five strikes, I'm healed. No evil shall befall me. No plague accidents come down where I dwell. I'm going to just take that thought and shed. I'm going to put my, why? Because the devil's trying to get fear in my life. No, I'm going to go. I'm going to drive it out. It will not leave voluntarily. You cannot trust God if you do not know what God, what he said. I hear a lot of people, you know. I mean, that's not deep. You can't trust God. You can't trust me if you don't know what I say. I'm just trusting Pastor Diz to pay my rent. I want to know that Pastor Diz say he going to pay your rent. Because see, you can have misplaced trust. That's why you got to be specific. You got to go to the word of God, what God said about your healing, what God said about your protection, what God said about your kid. There's been times, Chris, you know, he works right now, and, you know, sometimes he has to get off late because he works with his manager. Sometimes it's 12 and almost 12 o'clock, and then, you know, the devil, I be laying there, and the devil, oh, my God, someone done carjacked your son, and he's been held at night. I don't sit there, I cast that down, and I begin to speak the word of God. I'm not going to let that thing torment me. I go to the word that covers my kids and say, no, great shall be the peace of my child. You ain't going to torment me. I'm going to sleep good tonight. But you can't trust someone if you don't know what they said. Like I said, if you can't trust me. Not just knowing someone, then you got to know what they said. And that's been another problem. We haven't spent enough, we haven't given the attention to the word of God that we need to. My son, attend unto my word. Let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in your heart. Man, we got to go back to feeding on the word of God day and night. Don't wait until fear will come and then try to build your faith. Keep your faith built up. And so then when fear comes, it can't even get in. That's what happened. Job let down his hedge. You need to build a hedge about your life. Confess the word on your finances. Confess the word on your children. Build a hedge of faith around. It's called the shield of faith. And so then when fear comes, you're already strong. Amen. But you got to go to the word. Romans 10:17. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got faith. You can't have faith if you ain't heard what God said about your children, what God said about your father. That's why sometimes, even though I know what he said, I go into the scripture. I like to put my eyes on it and let this word become not just a logo, but a rhema. Matter of fact, I start talking it out of my mouth. God, you said. My knees are made. Every time we had a major crisis of finances in the church, no one never knew. Over the years, it looked easy. Now that everybody up, praise the Lord. But there were some times there was stuff due, and I just said, I'm not getting up. I ain't saying one word to nobody about nothing. And I would go put my eyes on the scripture to cover finances and hold my tithes receipts before the Lord. And ministries that we've given to and said, God, you said this. I know what God said about it. And faith would come. Faith will come. Faith comes by hearing what God says. Fear comes by listening to the lies of the devil. Matter of fact, that's what worry is. Worry is listening to the lies of the devil. Meditation is listening, meditating on God's word, giving your attention to that word. And so you can't trust someone if you don't know what they say. You got to spend time in the word. Then you got to get still to know him. Now, let's look at the book of Joshua. I'm almost done here. Joshua chapter 1. And, you know, when we talk about Joshua, you know, most of the time we read verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth. And that's very important. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all written therein. You'll make your way prosperous and have good success. But God said something else to Joshua that I want to close with right here. In Joshua chapter 1, the verse before and the verse after, he says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, the word of God, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Don't turn from the word to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. And then he gets even stronger language in verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? It's not a suggestion. God is saying, he's commanding you and I. Look what he said. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid that thou, and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou go. Notice he's commanding us to be courageous. And that's what I want to deal with. Courage does not mean that fear is absent. I'm sure Joshua felt fear. It was there. Look at the Anakims. Look at the giants. Oh my God, look at the Jordan Israel. Look at the Great Wall. Fear was present. Courage don't mean that fear won't be. Who was it? Paul said, when I wouldn't do good, evil or fear is present with me. It's going to always be there. Always lying. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Trying to get in your psyche. But notice, courage, he said, be of good courage. Only be thou strong. And courage is acting on the word in spite of your fear. I'm going to say, I feel the pain, but I'm still going to say by stripes I'm healed. So many people never see the other side of what God can do because they don't have courage. Courage is acting on the word. And God, Joshua was courageous. He saw the walls. He saw the Anakims. He saw the giants. But he knew God said, that's my land. And he showed courage. Courage comes from the heart. Courage is about commitment. Matter of fact, put up my statement here for this. Courage is commitment. He was committed. He didn't run. He didn't give up. And it was only two of them. Him and the Bible says Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. My God, it wasn't like he had a whole thousands of other people believing. You know, they had grasshopper visions. They wanted to run and quit and go back to Egypt. They said there's giants in the land. But Caleb and Joshua had courage. Said, let's go up at once and take what's ours. Don't mean fear wasn't there. And many times when you're acting on God's word, fear going to be present. When you're on the plane, fear going to be present. When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fear will be present. When you're in the doctor's office, fear will be present. When you're around folks with COVID-19, fear is going to, it's going to, but it don't have to get on your courage. Say, I'm going to act on God's in spite of all the fear around. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the 9/11 heroes. We see the 20th anniversary. They was committed. Courage is commitment. I'm not running. I'm never going to give up on God. I don't care if everybody leave the whole church. I don't care. No one don't give a dime. Courage says I'm going to keep acting. I'm going to keep preaching the same. That's what I kept doing during this pandemic. I seen all the pandemic showed me what a lot of people believe, where they were. Oh, folks, some people mad, politics, offense, all that. I ain't got time. I'm courage says I'm going to come to this pulpit and stay because I'm committed. When 9/11, when those planes went 20 years ago into the World Trade Center, there were firemen without even thinking. While bricks were falling, was running inside, burning buildings. What courage. Fear is something in the mind. Anyone with common sense said, you run in here. But courage. That don't mean fear wasn't there. That means they were still trying to save lives in the midst of the destruction, in the midst of falling buildings, in the midst of planes, storm, in the midst of, I'm talking about the whole thing, rubble falling on folks. There were people instead of running out that was running in. It wasn't because they did not sense fear. It's because they had courage in spite of the fear. God's people need to learn to act on God's word in spite of the fear. Just like the 10 lepers when he told them, go show yourself to the priest. Never laid hands on one of them. I'm sure fear would say, man, if we do that, they're going to kill you. You got leprosy. You can't go into this. But the Bible says as they went, they was feeling fear, but every step and somewhere in acting on that word of God, healing hit their body. Don't let fear take you over the spirit. It's going to always be present. Fear said, I was going to fail. We'll never get the money. We'll never, I've heard fear every day, but I acted on God's word. Why? Because fear, because I'm committed. Trust means commitment to God in spite of the fear. You'll see firemen and people that do stuff. I'm talking about, my God, where other men would run like scared rabbits. There were men of courage. Why? Trust is a product of the heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. heart, courage. The mind never took over. The heart, the spirit took over. Saved lives. And that's what, over the years, I've had to have is courage. It haven't been easy. Courage said, even though I sense fear and I sense the frustration, I see what's happening, I'm going to keep acting on God's word. Why? I'm trusting God. I'm committed to God. Are you committed? Are you fully committed? So that's what courage is. It's acting on the word of God in spite of fear. Let's close with Psalms 5, verse 11. We trust that you got something out of this evening. Psalms 5, verse 11. Don't mean that people think just because they sense fear, it must be. I mean, no. It's going to be present. It's going to be present every time. Most of the time, the reason it's present is because God is getting ready to give you a miracle. The devil's trying to back you off before you get on the other side. What is he trying to keep you for? What is on the other side of that fear is the blessing. God is getting ready to take you to the next level. But if you never act and go beyond that point, you'll never see what God. When I did that and I watched God come through it and watched God open doors, and when they had said that we were going to have to build a road that went to no sidewalk to nowhere and was going to be under, it was all types of fear, but God spoke to me and said, you go up there and you prophesy to City Hall. Some of you were there and I began to say, look, we'll pay $100,000. We'll pay one a gold. But if you bless me, you'll be blessed. But if you curse God's people, man, you're going to be cursed. And God changed. God turned it around. They just threw it off of the table. You think I wasn't afraid that day? But I said what God said to the mayor and the city council, the man, and God moved in my behalf, acting on the word in spite of the fear, time and time again. That's what commitment is. That's what it means to trust God. Let's close real quick with this. Psalms 5. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. Psalms 5. Make sure y'all guys get to church. People coming back. Come on back, man. But if you want to keep streaming, no pressure. 11 a.m., but we open at 10 every Sunday morning. Get in the live service. God is doing great things. What did I say? Psalms 5. There it is. Psalms 5, and look at verse 11. One verse says this. Psalms 5, verse 11 says this. It says in verse 11, it says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thee, love thy name, be joyful in thee. Look at this in Amplified and we through. But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice, and let them ever sing and shout. This is what the advantage of trusting God, committing yourself to God, because you make a covering over them. When you trust God, he cover you, he cover your kid. Whatever you commit to him, he said, I know whatever, it's good. Whatever you put in God's hand, he covers you. Cover you from your enemies. Cover you from your haters. Cover you from destruction. He redeemed your life from this. Your devil is not going to destroy. But you got to trust. He said, when you trust me, he'll make a covering over them and defend them. You don't have to fight your own battles. Let those who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirit. Let's put up the last statement, and God bless y'all. Hope you got something tonight. So then God says, trust me, then I've got you covered and I will defend you. Trust me, then I got you covered, and I will defend you. So God covers me. When I'm trusting him for Chris, and trusting him for my wife, and trusting him for Vanna, he's covering me. It brings a covering, and he will defend me. We'll close with our kitty scripture, which says this, and I'll just quote it, praise God. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, that have formed thee, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called you by your name. You're mine. I'm going to cover you. When you pass through, say through the water, he said, I'll be with thee. And through the river, it shall not overflow thee. Why? I got you covered. When you walk through the fire, see, we're coming out of everything. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because you're trusting me. So I say to you that to trust God mean to be committed to God. Commit yourself to God. Commit your children, your finances, all that you have. Most of all, commit your life. If you're not saved, giving your life. Well, we love you. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless you. Hope you got something out of this nice message. See you on next week or Sunday morning.